Hudson Fish, written by Grant Lekeza and read by Tamblyn Lord. Henry Reed was a good man. He loved God and good work and good people. His sympathies went out specially to the poor and friendless. And to be the means of ministering to their temporal and spiritual welfare was for many years the joy of his life. Salvation Army founder William Booth, writing about Hudson Fish's grandfather. As Hudson Fish was dodging Turkish bullets on Gallipoli, a powerful image always gave him wings. It was the same mental picture that later helped sustain him while he was escaping German machine gun blasts in the skies above Palestine, and which drove him on through the darkest times in the early days of his fledgling airline, when outback dust storms tore into his pair of flimsy aircraft. Fish would visualize his grandfather, Henry Reed, and recall stories of the sharp-eyed, fiercely determined young Yorkshireman. Whenever Fish thought of Reed, he would remember that within him too was the courage and tenacity to survive any trial. Reed was born late in 1806 in Doncaster, in England's north. He was the youngest of four children of Samuel Reed, an eccentric postmaster, and his wife, the former Mary Rockliffe. Samuel died when the boy was small, and he remembered nothing of his father except the tolling of the church bell to mark his passing. At 13, after a solid grounding in the Wesleyan faith and a smattering of education, Reed was apprenticed to a merchant in Hull. He learnt the basics of shopkeeping from the floor he had to sweep morning and night to the top of the shelves he routinely stacked with arms that grew longer and longer over the next 7 years. It was in the counting house where his talents really shone, and the wide world beckoned. When Reed had just turned 20, he bade his widowed mother goodbye, promising to return a rich man, and left Gravesend aboard the 350-ton ship Tiger, seeking to make his name and fortune on the far side of the world. The cargo included fine English soap, as well as choice hops from Kent and brewing utensils that were much in demand for the free settlers in Van Diemen's Land, then best known as the end of the line for transported British convicts. The voyage was trying, and Reed was in the cheapest class, steerage. But when he wasn't praying for deliverance, he was studying all he could about the way the skipper and the crew handled a large vessel, how they navigated by the stars and steered to make the most of whichever winds were blowing. The Tiger finally sailed up the Derwent on 13th of April 1827. After a confinement of 4 months in cramped quarters, the long and lanky young man took in the surrounds of the fledgling Hobart town, with the majestic Mount Wellington in the distance. Then he stretched his legs in the best way possible, walking 200 kilometres across the northern part of the colony to find work. For company, he had another passenger named Valance and a double-barreled shotgun. The cannibal bandit Thomas Jeffries, who had eaten at least one of his four murder victims, had been hanged recently in Hobart town, but bushrangers and escaped convicts still roamed the area with murderous intent. Meanwhile, the so-called Black War was raging. In reality, it was a series of massacres of the local Aboriginal population and the occasional retaliation by their kin.